This is the 2 Minute Drill.
Championship Sunday. This is 2 Minute Drill, Pierce with Joe. Welcome back, sir.
Yo, what's going on?
Good to see you.
It's been three, 4 weeks. I don't know how long it's been.
It's been a while, man, but you've been busy. By the way, your question to George a couple weeks ago, we haven't really talked about it. Your question to George was amazing. And it was one of them questions that like really made me understand. Oh, you're a little bit.
Yeah, I know.
You guys did a wonderful job pressing George with that, and I'm sure you guys will again when we get Ryan Poles and the eventual head coach in the building.
Which I'm assuming, yeah, we're not getting Ryan Poles press conference until the head coach, and it seems Ryan Poles is hell bent on the three that we will be discussing. But I'm guessing when you get them, then we'll get both. I don't remember Ryan Pace's press conference.
Was it so long ago?
Was it him and
Fox? I don't think it was, but it was so long ago that it very well could have been.
At least I'm happy here that, first of all, he got up ultra early in Hollis Hall and it was -5 and he was out just in a coat. I'm like, you're tripping. It's freezing. Now,
you don't need to pander to us like that, bro. We mess with you anyway.
Exactly. And I know this was a Bears PR thing because the Giants did the same thing. And it's just cool. You know, it gets fans excited. You know, it's going to work. I'm guaranteeing he already pulled in. His stuff's already in that office. And they said, all right, set your car up here. We're going to get you out. We're just going to walk in all cool. So, you know.
It's a really nice rental. Like, yo, shout out to whoever hooked him up with the rental.
Hey, it looked decent.
Yeah. Looked decent. Yeah. So hopefully he's hard at work. Who was in the building today? I think it was Eberflus and Dan Quinn.
I thought
Quinn in
all
the
three,
today, right?
Part of me thought all three. You know, this is why maybe one day I'll be able to have a pulse of the building at Hallis Hall. I'm getting there, but not there quite yet. But I thought, you know, I'm basing it on what journalists have said, and I'm also basing it on what the Bears blog is. I don't personally like his Twitter account, but he's been on the roll. And he's been correct. So I'm not going to act like he ain't been, and he been going at it with Dan, that we're just my guy, but he been going at it with Dan for a minute. But he's been correct about, you know, with who the Bears are hiring.
See, I block. So, like, it's hard for me to really kind of, you know, agree with you here because I haven't seen that person's tweets in some years. But
oh, no, see, that's the thing. I did it a while ago, too. I started to unblock a lot of people because I'm just like, I'm just going to mute you and keep you off my timeline. But I saw it. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, this man was right. And so according to them, and then a quarter, I think it was Adam Schefter. I thought he said Jim Caldwell was there too. But I know for sure it was
Caldwell Eberflus. Was there yesterday, I believe.
Okay. I know for sure it was Eberflus. Eberflus, forgive us if we're mispronouncing it. We talked about earlier which one it is, but them and Dan Quinn. I know those two for sure.
Yeah, man.
Coming in today.
And we'll get to talk about the Bears head coaching search and make a case for who we think should be the head coach when Scott gets on. Scott's dealing with some stuff right now. So we'll talk about the postseason and we'll push off the funeral of 12 for a little bit. Which one? Maybe both. Shit, I don't know. But why don't we just start with AFC? Let's start with Saturday. Because I feel like you were just as angry at the same drive that Tennessee had that I am. It's the second to last drive. They're down at this point. It's third and short.
Mm-hmm.
Why the hell did they run a shotgun play?
A shotgun Shane, what quarterback. Were you talking about?
We're talking about Tennessee and Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Third and short. Why the hell did they run a shotgun quarterback option with Tannehill that got stuffed, telegraphing exactly what the fuck they're going to do on fourth down, which is run right up the middle with Derrick Henry, and then they got stopped? That's when I thought they lost that game.
My thing, and it's funny because after the game, I was like, Mike Vrabel should be fired, and I didn't get any responses from it. I thought people would say, are you kidding me? Now, of course, it's hyperbole to what I'm saying because
– right. It's definitely an in-game reaction to
– you know, he's resurrected that franchise – from really not obscurity to, you know, because of course they were good in early
mediocrity. They've been mediocre for a very long time.
Middle of the pack to now they're like perennial contender you know, Super Bowl contender for sure. And on top of that, they had a really hurt team for most of the latter part of the year. And so having them back, even though Derrick Henry was running like he was wearing Birdman lugs on, it was still a few of the decisions. I was like, man, what are you doing? You know, first of all, you don't need to run a direct snap to the QB on third and one. You don't even need to telegraph with Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, we know he's not 100%. You know what I mean? At least he's not in football 100%, meaning he's not used to, you know, your body getting used to the shock that happens when you get hit and you're hitting holes like that. And I forgot the backup running back's name, number 7.
Deontay, I think it was Deontay Foreman, right?
He was having a hell of a game. You know, give him the ball. You know what I'm saying? If Derrick Henry has to be used as a spy or not even necessarily a spy, but on downs when it's like maybe 2nd and 6, you put Derrick Henry in there, you run out of shotgun, him and number 7, I forgot the name you just said, then you hand the ball off to him. He got a few, I want to say 3 runs, maybe like 4 yards, just with a quick burst. And that's really all you need to use him for. They were rushing to get him back, and I understand completely. But I don't know. I feel like Derrick Henry is not a type of player who can play. Running backs can't play at less than 80% because, mm-hmm. especially with the injury he had, you need to be able to use the lower part of your body 100%. If you have a messed up bicep, a wrist, a finger, you can get by with that. You can't get by with a lower body injury, especially when you're that big of a man.
And so, that's the style of running that you play. Like Derrick Henry's a bruiser. Derrick Henry doesn't finesse you. When you hand a ball off to Derrick Henry, you know exactly what the fuck he's going to do. He's going to run at you. He's going to run at you hard. And he's going to try to knock you on your ass to pick up those few extra yards.
Exactly. If he runs around you, it's a stiff arm right next to it. You know what I'm saying? He wants contact. So that whole game was so mismanaged by Vrabel to me. Now, of course, he's not the one calling every single play. I don't know his relationship with his offensive coordinator.
I was wondering who the offensive coordinator was. I know it's not Vrabel because Vrabel was a linebacker. He's a defensive coach. So I'm like, who the fuck was calling them plays?
But I know as a head coach, he can still say, nah. But some of those play calls were just – it was a lot of egregious football. They weren't the only team that did that. And I'm not sure – they were worse than what the Bills did. The Bills really just pissed me completely off. Defensively, yes. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a fan of any of these teams. What was Aaron Rodgers got eliminated? I was like, I can watch it in peace. You know, mm-hmm. I love Tom Brady, my favorite football player of all time. But when he lost, I was like, oh well, he got 7 rings. I don't care. But seeing the Bills and seeing the Titans go out in the way that they did, and I was legit like upset. I was like, are you kidding me? I'm looking at my TV like, why are you doing this? And so a lot of
those were legit coaching failures in both of those games. How the fuck, and we'll talk about the Bills, but how the fuck is it 13 seconds left? All you have to do is just prevent them motherfuckers. Play zone.
They're like, oh, we're watching for the sidelines. But you
play fucking zones. How the fuck are you playing man on Tyreek Hill when the game's on the line?
Bro, I would have sat in probably cover 6. More than likely cover 4. I'm not doing cover 2. Cover 6, cover 4, and everybody would have just got a man. You don't guard grass. Like, when you have a zone, if there's nobody out there in your zone, like, for instance, if you're too high safety in a cover 2, if nobody's out there, well, you just guard grass. But if somebody comes to your zone, that's your man. You guide them out, and you shift into the other zone, and then that's your man. And then that's that other person's man. And so when they were sitting in there, and then I saw the mic'd up moment with the Chiefs, and Travis Kelce was like, the seam's open. He's like, just give it to me. And they just literally just started, backyard football. Because with, who is it? Tyreek Hill. Travis Kelce said, you know, just run by me and I'm a block for you. It just literally was just that type of thing.
And as soon as he got wide open, it was like, oh no, you're either getting a touchdown or you're taking us to the red zone and they're about to win.
Yeah, and on top of that, you know, Pat Mahomes is evolving as a quarterback. And it's funny because you would think that how can you evolve as a quarterback when you're already MVP? But he's becoming a lot more patient. He's not – 2 high safeties were beating them last year in the Super Bowl. I mean, beating the crap out of him because he was looking for 15 yards plus and it just wasn't working. But this game, no, I'm going to take what you give me. Okay, here's 5 yards. I'm going to let Tyreek Hill work. I'm going to let Travis Kelce work. And it was working to perfection. Mm-hmm. And so you take that back to the Bills and it was the exact opposite. They weren't doing anything complimentary, and now Scott's going to call now. But the Titans weren't doing anything complimentary, everything was hard. Everything felt like it was watching rocket science. And it had a lot of people going, is it this tough to call plays? And of course, we're not in their seats. We don't know what they're going through. But it's like, man, why are you making it so hard for your talented team to do, you know, to get points on the board? More importantly, to get first downs, convert third downs. And so I watched that game annoyed more than anything.
Yeah. Scott, before we talk about how Joe Burrow is him, we want to talk about how the Titans absolutely blew that with some
mind-blowing-ass coaching decisions. I'm not sure if you can hear us.
I do have my headphones on.
Oh, okay.
Have my helmet on. I have my hoodie on because my hair is ridiculous. Anyway, Joe, it's so nice for you to join us after, like, 2 months.
You come on here to disrespect me or you come on here to talk football?
Yeah, I've seen you since week 8. But anyway, yeah, the Titans fucked my money up. Not really money, got in bet.
I'm gonna say, like, are you?
I'm not a degenerate like you two. But I didn't bet. But I went 1-3 in my predictions this week. Now the one I wanted was I'm very happy that happened. Obviously, the Niners. But
I knew it was gonna happen though. I was like, I see it.
I think I had too much faith in Tannehill.
Yeah.
That's why I thought Tannehill had beat the allegations. And I thought we'd been past that.
You got to say another word besides allegations. It just sounds bad. It sounds like he's committed assault. Just say beat the rumor. beat the whatchamacallit.
beat the whatchamacallit. Let's not do that.
Just say that. You know, exactly. It sounds bad, too. Just say he defeated the negativity, the criticism. Listen, beat the allegations. Reserve that for Mr. As we flip the picture upside down. You know what I'm saying?
Anyway, I think I trusted Tannehill too much. I think his last couple playoffs, he ain't been that bad. Like, I thought he'd been pretty solid, and I thought it'd be enough to get the job done against Cincinnati, especially with the way that I knew Cincinnati's offensive line was sus. And the offensive line played the way I thought it would. I mean, Burrow got sacked 9 fucking times. When you get the – what do you got, pick off 3 times? Like, if you give Burrow more opportunities –
Tannehill got picked thrice.
First play of the game, he got picked off. So it's like we're starting to see you give Burrow that many opportunities, he's going to fuck you up. And that's pretty much the story of that one. One had a better quarterback and the other didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's probably as plain as you can make it. I take it back. It's not as plain as you can make it because we're forgetting the fact that his coaches made it tougher for him. And often, like, for instance, I'm sorry to rant. Was it Jim? Who's owner of the Giants?
John Mara.
He said, we've done everything in our power to screw this kid up. Talk about Daniel Jones. I'm like, okay.
Hell of accountability.
I mean, that's super amount of accountability. I mean, I don't think Daniel Jones is going to be a great player either anyway, but that's a good amount of accountability. And I feel like after that game, the coaches, the offensive coordinator, and Mike Vrabel should have went up to the mic and said, yeah, we definitely screwed this up. Because it should, for a player of Tannehill's caliber, and Tannehill is not the greatest quarterback ever, but he's a damn good serviceable quarterback. He is. What would you rate him out of a 10?
I would say Brad Johnson can win you a playoff game.
You know what I'm saying? He's a 7 out of 10. He's a good quarterback, or 7.5. He can win you games, but you also have a great cast around him. Well, you have a solid cast around him, and they made it very, very hard. And I just don't understand why.
I agree.
No, 100%. And Vrabel's coaching decisions, or whoever the offensive coordinator is, it's so maddening how they lost that game. Because those last two drives, you have to seal that fucking football game.
That was, like, a lot of overthinking this weekend.
It was a lot of overthinking this weekend. A lot in all of these fucking games. But the Titans won, to me, like, that's the bigger coach to team failure. To me, because they absolutely were in position to lock that game up, win that game. And, you know, like I said, all four of these underdogs, all four of these road teams got a chance. And all four road teams almost fucking won. Yeah. So you gave Burrow an opportunity. He had that sliver of hope where he found a man on the sideline. Boom. Give Evan McPherson, who's been, beside that Packer game, he's been solid all year. Now the Bengals, we talking about in the conference championship game. And it's crazy. Joe Burrow's 2 years in, and we're already talking about him being in the conference title game, going up against a dude who we expect in that conference, they're going to be battling back and forth. Same as Josh Allen, same as Justin Herbert. It's crazy, man. Like, you have four legitimate guys, I would say, in the AFC.
Yeah, like I said in my article I did on Slick, I was comparing it to, like, you know, the attitude.
There you go, this nigga.
Yeah. What you talking about, me?
Like I said,
think you David Aldridge now? J. Hernandez?
And like I said in my article, nigga, what's called Patrick Holmes is the Stone Cold of his era, and like everybody else is like the challenger. You probably say Josh Allen will be the Rock. Maybe Burrow's gonna be Triple H. You got all these different people.
Justin Herbert's Kurt Angle. He's 100% Kurt Angle. Right.
Yeah, definitely. He's definitely Kurt Angle. He ain't made the main event yet. He's a European champion, Kurt Angle.
Euro Intercontinental.
Yeah,
champion.
We still gotta wait for Herbo to win the King of the Ring first, and then he'll be able to take
facts.
Over.
Facts.
But as you're starting to see, the AFC is starting to become the power conference. They're gonna have this everybody trying to take Mahomes out, and Allen got very damn close. He got very damn close, but he forgot that you have to put. You have to.
Did he forget? Did he forget? Or did Sean McDermott and Leslie
Frazier? What I mean by he forgot is the Bills. Leslie Frazier, they forgot you got to – just because the cast is closed, it's not over until they 6 feet under. And they didn't do that yet. And he came through one arm. Even I thought 13 seconds, that's not
you know, even, now, you know not what even it Patrick was. Mahomes can do that. You know what it was, man? You know what it was? It was the Royal – since we in Royal Rumble season. It was Royal Rumble 1998. Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker. Kane come out. Boom. Kane think you helping The Undertaker. Kane beat the shit out of The Undertaker. What does he do? Him and Paul Bearer put him in that casket. Boom. Shawn Michaels wins. But he rolls it up the ramp, pours that gasoline on it. He staples that shit shut. Boom. Sets it on fire. That was Josh Allen and the Bills on Sunday, 13 seconds left. But what they didn't fucking realize is that when you open the casket and you look inside, and you see all the smoke billowing out of that casket. Ain't nobody in that motherfucking casket. You know why? Because Patrick Mahomes had already rose from the dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what he did on Sunday.
That was egregious defense, man. As soon as Tariq caught that first.
Unbelievable defense on both sides. Let's not let the Chiefs get away with murder, okay?
This is true.
Both defenses were fucking ass.
Yeah.
It just so happened that because of the rules are the rules, Bills ain't got an opportunity to go out there.
Which I have no problem with those.
It's rules. I had no problem with it. I knew for a fact when they implemented it, the new overtime rules, hey, that's kind of stupid. You know, people are going to be pissed, right?
So here we are. One way or the other.
You know, yeah, hey, you might as well just change the fucking
I didn't have a problem with the original overtime rules. That's just me.
I mean, I feel like we have progressed as a society to the point where, yo, just get the quarterback a fucking chance. But like I said, the rule is the rule. So, you know, the lay of the law, it is what it is. It's maddening how terrible these fucking defenses were in this football game.
This, I think, represents a greater trend, not only from fans watching, but from the NFL, that's geared toward just offense to the point that defense gets ignored. Like so heavily, like for a defense, you have 13 seconds to prevent them from getting to your 35-yard line. They're going to start at their 25-yard line if they take the touchback. You can't prevent that? Like that is such, it should be an easy feat. What I mean easy is you do your job, they're not going to hurt you. For instance,
that's 40 yards? 40 yards from 25 to the...
Yeah, 25 to the 50 is 25. If you did the next 25, would be that. Take it back, it's 40. Yes, 40 yards. You prevent them from 13 seconds. First of all, they had three timeouts. So you guarding the sidelines made no sense. Like, they could throw any throw possible. Three timeouts. First of all, you should have squib kicked it. You should have not let them get that out of
bounds. Let them bust some clock.
You know what I'm saying? Either you squib it or you throw it into the freaking sky. It's not like college where they can call a fair catch from any point on a kickoff. They're going to have to return it. And if you tackle kind of slowly, you can take off a couple more seconds. You could have had 7-8 seconds, and that's it. And in those 7-8 seconds, they would have not got down there that quick. But instead, you gave them 13 seconds. Was it two plays, three plays? They got down there with enough time to call a timeout. But they had three timeouts. Why are you guarding the sidelines? They don't have to play for the sidelines. What you should have is two safeties ultra deep, if not three safeties ultra deep. But everybody else, you don't even have them that deep. You should have them playing normal, maybe a couple couple yards off, and then you should have probably nickel or dime. Look, I would go dime, take as many linebackers out and get more DBs in, and then guard the people who you know are going to be putting in work. Travis Kelce is dangerous in those situations. You're probably going to have to man him up. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill, don't man him at all. Let him pass. Let him get passed off in the zone.
All he's going to do is just dart around the whole fucking field. Why would you have somebody trail him? Just, you know, make sure everybody's taking care of their area. And then lock him down when it needs, when it's DB. Focus on Travis Kelce. Everybody else can just do what they do. Pringle
and that's what
can just do what they do.
That's what upset me the most, because the Chiefs should be home right now. So Bills just
they
really
should be home right now. Yeah, and I'm kind of. I love Pat, but I'm not a Pat guy at all. Why? Explain to us why you're not Patrick Mahomes guy.
I have Trayvon. No clue at all. I have no. I can't give
it's
you.
His, you know, it's his fucking brother. That's what it is. It's his brother. I'm still waiting on him to meet JT and fall in love.
The funny thing is, I didn't even pay attention to Pat Mahomes' brother or his, you know, his annoying brother or his wife. I don't pay attention to him at all. So I can't even say it's that makes me upset. I just don't like him as a player. I don't know. It's like when LeBron came in the league. I didn't like LeBron as a player. Well, I have nothing against him personally. What'd you say?
It's going to be a long decade plus for you.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's
too great?
No. Because when Aaron Rodgers came in the league, of course, it's going to sound blasphemous. I very much used to like Aaron Rodgers before
before he won a championship. I was like, yo, he kind of decent. And then
literally, it was a few times where Scott would be like, man, you're blasphemous. I'm like, he's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen in my life. And so
after a certain point, too. I tried to lie to myself.
My thing with Rodgers, I always said before this year that my only issue with him was the uniform he had on. Then he started opening his mouth, and I'm like, oh, you're a fucking idiot. It's like, that's when I was like, okay, well, now I don't fuck with him, period. Before that, it was just he had to pack a uniform on.
Yeah.
Like, I like Pat, but I will say that the rest of the Chiefs I don't really bang with. No. Like, I'm not a Tyreek Hill guy.
No.
I'm not.
I mean, you have reasons for that.
Besides his
Tyrann Mathieu,
I like Honey Badger. They're probably only two. I like Mahomes, Honey Badger, and Kelce. That's it. Like, I like to me, Tyreek Hill is he's more of a product of Mahomes than it is the other way around.
Yeah,
He's not on any of my top receivers.
If Tyreek Hill played with Kirk Cousins, Tyreek Hill would be Keen Grant.
Exactly. Thank you. If he played with Kirk Cousins, he'll beat Jakeem Grant. Cooper Kupp is good on any team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a top five receiver right there. I don't think Hill is.
No.
I wonder if we reevaluated our top five receivers.
I still got number one.
I've been thinking about that for a while.
I still think it's Devontae, and I'm going to still be on this fucking.
Because think about it. Okay, yeah, if Devontae's obviously in it, Mike Evans obviously in it. We got to drop both.
Mike Evans is such an interesting character. He has never not had 1,000 yards.
This is wild,
but when it's time to get a big catch, he just don't do it, and that kind of annoys me.
He got a big catch last week,
but there was
only because Jalen fell asleep. Because Jalen was locking his ass up.
But there was a few times where the ball was one on one. It was catchable, and it didn't seem like he made enough of an effort.
He's not a possession playmaker receiver.
Whereas Devontae's one on one, I'm like, he gonna come up with it. You know what I'm saying? And I trust Devontae's hands before I trust him.
Yes.
Now, who's number one? It still would be Nuke, whatever you call him.
Hopkins.
Bro. Yeah, Hopkins, he's obviously number one.
But we definitely obviously have to drop out Julio because injuries and like.
Yeah, I dropped out Julio a couple years ago.
He's on the end of it. But then we also got to drop out Slant Boy.
We got to drop out Slant Boy.
Where is he been at?
He's
still
out.
New Orleans?
He's still
No, he didn't.
Oh, he didn't play that entire year.
We also got to cross out Mr. AB just because
he was never in my top five.
AB was never in your top five.
Nah, not when we did the thing last year. He
wasn't. Oh, I thought you're talking about ever. I was like, hold up.
No, last year he wasn't in the league, so we didn't have him in the top five.
Okay, yeah, but I thought AB was like crazy. Then I watched his interview with Brandon Marshall. I'm like, nah, this nigga just got a huge fucking ego. Like, he's not a crazy nigga at all. He just has a massive ego.
He's just egotistical.
And Brandon had a lot of nerve talking about, well, I would handle this way. Nigga, we remember who the old Brandon Marshall was. That nigga would have fought Bruce Arians on the sideline. Fuck out of here. Even AB was like, come on. We said, come on, B. I know you. I know you. You're not doing that. You say you're trying to tell me, like, excuse me, Arians, but we're going to talk about this when we get in the locker room. We all know.
Someone made a good point. If you were a team, would you sign him? If you're a team,
no,
you
need Antonio Brown, no. He does the same shit at every stop.
Yeah.
And he's done this with Brady twice. Maybe he did this shit with New England, too.
Yeah. You know, it's not worth the pain you have to go through. If when I need him the most, he's not there. Antonio, a healthy Antonio Brown. What'd you say?
He said on probably want to play with Lamar. I'm like, he'd be calling a running back by week 8.
Yeah. No. A healthy Antonio Brown might have won the game for them. Maybe. But it certainly puts him in a better position. But of course, his ego hurt them and they didn't have him. So, yeah.
Yeah, it absolutely ridiculous for that game. I guess we'll talk about that now. Rams beat the Bucks. Rams jumped out to a hot early start. Matt Stafford, oh my God, he's going to a fucking conference championship game. That's the crazy part of it. And now we're sitting here. Whether or not Brady is going to retire or not. But let's start with Matthew Stafford, because that was a hell of a throw down to seeing the Cooper Kupp. And it's making me respect Stafford, which I don't like, obviously, as a Bears fan. I don't want to respect him.
He got to finish the job.
He's got to finish the job.
Goff got him to the Super Bowl. He has to win it.
You say Goff got him to the Super Bowl?
No, Goff got the Rams to the Super Bowl. He has to win it.
I'm about to say, like, it's not Jared Goff.
Best job to lose that game.
Of course they did. But I'm just going to give Stafford the respect, because to go to Brady's house and to put up the numbers, and then in crunch time when they've already come back to tie this game, it should be dead. It's Tom Brady. Like, you let the man rise from the dead. Usually other quarterbacks, it's over. Stafford made the plays and found Cooper Kupp when he needed to find him. So I give him credit in that. I give him immense credit. Now he's got to face Jimmy G. Like, it should be a toss-up. It should be easy for you, right?
They the same nigga.
They technically the same nigga.
Stafford is just a little smarter than Jimmy G. And the thing about Jimmy is the reverse Stafford. Jimmy will play like shit the entire game. But when it's winning time, this nigga becomes Montana. I don't know what the fuck it is. And in the first quarter, did you see some of the throws at the end of that game?
I ain't talking about that, nigga. I'm talking about in that Super Bowl a couple years ago when he overshot nigga to the moon.
Okay, all right. Look.
Chiefs, we wouldn't be talking. If he would have made that throw, we wouldn't be talking about the Chiefs at all.
This is true. But also,
Trey Lance doesn't get drafted.
Also, in the first half of that game against the Packers this week, he was making some great throws that them niggas were just dropping.
Oh, absolutely.
So, Jimmy, this is why the NFC Championship game is a toss-up. One thing the Rams are always going to do, they're going to give you an opportunity to win that fucking game.
Yeah.
I didn't hear Aaron Donald name once in the second half.
No.
Once.
Oh, he had a sack.
That was in the first half. That was Vaughn who had a sack in the second half.
Yeah, I heard Vaughn's name in the second half.
In the second half, Vaughn was a beast. I didn't see AD after the halftime. So that's what it's a toss-up for me, for both of them.
But also, like, that line can't be had, because Compton was having a fucking mess of a day out there on Saturday. Compton was getting worked on Saturday.
And we still got to see what Trent Williams' status is.
Right, because Trent Williams was hobbled, and we got to wait for Debo's status, too. But it's
a real ball player.
Man, this man's dope. That man's great. Oh,
he's the best player in the league, bro.
He's so nice.
Best player in the league?
Best player in the league, bro.
Listen, we'll talk deeper about
That there should not be a singular MVP award in football. It just
there needs to be an offensive and a defensive MVP.
I agree.
It shouldn't even be that. It should be more than that. For almost every, for instance, how can a running back compete with a quarterback? Like, the stats are always going to look lopsided. Agreed. You know what I'm saying? A receiver with a running back makes a little bit more sense. Bunching them in a category, maybe. But a quarterback? I mean, what are you going to do with somebody throws for 5,040 touchdowns?
Wait, is it defensive player of the year, defensive MVP?
So how about this? So how can you be having all these different fucking trophies? Obviously, the Hart Trophy is like you're the MVP of everything. But you got a trophy for the best defenseman. You got a trophy for the nigga who is, he exemplifies he's most outstanding on the court. What if you had an MVP that was for quarterback? Called like the Johnny Unitas Award. You have an MVP for your skill players, your best skill play on offense, and you have an MVP on defense.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I agree entirely. I believe there should be, like, it's not like basketball where Everyone can possess the rock and score. And if damn near position is basketball now, and centers are coming out and pulling 20 footers. So
I think
that's MLB different. Well, Nick, I was in a full blown sentence.
My bad.
And you just interjected. That is crazy.
This is the one thing I missed about having you guys both together.
The nigga just talks. But with football, people are doing completely different jobs. Like with offensive linemen, will never get an MVP unless he's just like blocking everybody's linemen.
Be one
together.
For the best
lineman, best lineman, best skill player, best quarterback. Simple as that. And then you could put most outstanding player in the league, most valuable player. But if you're going to do that, it has to be literally.
I never
most
realized that they don't do that because, like, even in
college,
baseball,
does
like
college has the Heisman? Well, but college
like
also
in the NFL, like, because even in baseball, like, yeah, you have a gold glove for each position, you have a silver slugger for each position.
Yeah.
So you kind of have an idea of, like, yo, this is the best player at this particular position. NBA is different because it's so superstar based, but football, like, you're pretty much saying, yo, if you're not a quarterback, there's no chance in hell you win this award.
Yeah.
Defensively, I think Lawrence Taylor is the only defensive player to ever win that award. Like, yeah, that's insane to me. But no,
at least in college, there was like the year before Bryce Young, Devontae Smith as a wide receiver one. But then, of course, you had like four straight quarterbacks, but then Derrick Henry run. Then you had quarterbacks again, but then before that, you had Mark Ingram.
I'll say Devontae was the first wide receiver ever to win it. If not ever, then like since like 1980 or some shit like that.
Eric Crouch, QB wide
receiver? Eric Crouch was a quarterback. They classified him as a quarterback. He didn't switch to wide
receiver.
Charles
Woodson was cornerback.
Yeah.
Desmond Howard won.
Well, I think Howard was a corner, but he played some offense.
No, like, he was a returner and wide receiver. He was a returner and wide receiver.
But Devontae was
–
Tim Brown, but I guess like Devontae wasn't a returner. That was it. It was just to be just a strict wide receiver. You can get it if you were a returner or if you play some defense on the side as well. But like,
no, Tim Brown was just straight up wide receiver.
He was a returner too at Notre Dame, I believe.
No, he got in literally for his.
Talking about Tim Brown, Oakland Raiders Tim Brown.
Yes,
yeah, he played.
Nah, he wasn't a returner.
We're talking about college. We don't know what he did in college. Johnny Rogers won as a wide receiver. So, no, he wouldn't be classified as a first. But I say that to say it has a lot more versatility in college football than it does in the NFL. NFL, if I go to a list of NFL MVPs by year, when's the last time I would see someone other than a quarterback win? Like, I really am. The last time Adrian Peterson in 2012 for him,
after his ACL injury,
LaDainian Tomlinson and Sean Alexander in back-to-back years. Before that, Marshall Faulk. But it's just dominated by QBs, and it has to be. But at least with college, there's quarterback of the year. There's wide receiver of the year, lineman of the year. So many valuable things that let you know one person has actually been very successful at their position. So NFL should adopt that. And you already got the NFL honors. Add more awards. You get more TV time.
You know why the NFL honors stinks? This is why the NFL honors stinks, because it's not live. And we know the awards before the TV show airs. Nobody wants to watch it after that.
I mean, the draft kind of gets annoying with that too.
At least that's a couple seconds before, though.
It ain't no the couple seconds, nigga. It been. I knew Justin Fields was getting drafted 5 minutes before. I was like, nigga.
But I get the point. Like NFL honors is on tape delay, a massive tape
exactly
delay.
The whole show.
Yeah. The draft gets the necessary 7 seconds that usually every other live event does.
Yeah.
So like
I would love for the draft to have meaning for me again.
I have to.
They made it too many fucking rounds, and so now it's not like you used to wake up on Saturday and be like, oh, it's the draft. I'm sit up all day and watch these picks. And then they made day two kind of matter. Now it's just like, yo, after the first day, like day two, I'm here because I want to be. But day
Pierce,
four, like, I'm going
to
go do some other shit.
I don't mind that it has
have
that
to
many.
Get out of here.
I don't mind that it has that many rounds. I just don't like the fact that journalists announce it before it happens. Let the picks play out on TV. But whatever.
Go ahead.
I'm going to get my picks. I got to get out here and shoot my show and get ready for the Aaron Rodgers eulogy that I'm going to do today. So I've got the Super Bowl. I think the Super Bowl that everybody wants to see is Rams-Chiefs. I think that would probably be the most entertaining Super Bowl. That is not the Super Bowl I think we're getting. There's something about this Niners team that makes me feel like nobody's beating them in the NFC at least. So I'm going with Chiefs-Niners. rematch of 2 years ago. I do think, I don't know, I'm not going to pick yet, but I do think that this upcoming NFC Championship game has stupid finish alert written all over it. You can go either fucking way. But I just trust Jimmy G a little bit more than Stafford, and I trust that defense in San Francisco more than I do the Rams. And as far as AFC Championship game, I think it'll be a good game. The problem here is, can the Bengals defense stop Mahomes when it counts? Because even when they won in the game at home at the end of the season, that was a comeback win. They're not going to be able to do any comeback type shit on the road. But I do think that I don't really trust the Chiefs defense. We don't know if Honey Badger's going to play or not. And I think that's going to at least give Burrow a fighting chance. So I think they're going to be good games. And one last thing before I get out here, Joe, embrace the Dan Quinn era. It is coming. It is coming. Everybody deserves a second chance. And it's going to happen.
No, I don't think a nigga who gave up 28-3 deserves a second chance. You should
it's
be
not, it's not even the 28-3. It's everything after the 28-3. It's the way
the collapse of the team
exploded after 28-3.
Hey, man, they made the playoffs. Yeah, 28-3 won a road playoff game. Ain't his fault that the management didn't bring back his players. That's all.
I mean, the Rams weren't a good playoff team. They definitely weren't being the Eagles in that playoff game.
A playoff win is a playoff win. Something that the Bears ain't had in almost a decade. Listen, I'm just saying, take care.
Yeah, goodbye, man. Let's double back and then we'll come back around to the Bears and then to the playoffs. Let's give a eulogy for the one and only Q Aaron Rodgers. And how poetic was it when you were watching that game on Saturday and the clock was ticking down and you realized, oh shit, 49ers have a chance to win this ball game. When Debo had that 3rd and 7, and by the grace of fucking God, he found that hole, squeak through and get that first down. When you finally realized it, how poetic was it that Aaron Rodgers' Green Bay Packers career was going to end on the foot of Chicago Bears legend Robbie Gould?
I mean,
like a double agent.
For me, I was nervous in that game because I really hate the Packers, obviously. But more importantly, I was like, I don't want to blow the conversation around Aaron Rodgers being this, he's great, he's that, when his postseason record is still meh. He got the title, and you can never take that away from him. They legitimately won. They beat the Bears. They beat the Steelers. I forgot who else they beat in the playoffs. But they did their job. They won. That was also 11 years ago. It's a long time ago. And since then, we have not seen that success. So I did not want this to continue. And then the whole list, the Last Dance thing. Then he's opened his mouth this year, just proved him to be a moron. And of course, I don't hate him for being a moron. That's what he chooses to be.
No, like, we hate him for being a Green Bay Packer. If you want to choose to be a moron, I dislike that's him. Your choice, right?
Exactly. People can be morons all they want. On top of that, I'm a moron to somebody. I'm a moron to probably plenty of people. They're stupid, but I'm a moron to them. And so my opinion isn't going to change the reality that he wants to live in. But I dislike him because he's a Packers player. And so I'm like, oh, God, I do not want to hear this anymore. And then, you know, seeing Debo Samuel, that's why I say he's the best player in the league, because there's nowhere you can't put him on the field and on offense besides QB. And I wonder, has he thrown a passing touchdown before? He probably has.
I feel like he has.
He's such a versatile player. He's legitimately a good running back. And legitimately a good receiver. It's insane what he can do. He was hitting the hole like a running back. And so
burst that he has, oh my God. That burst on that 3rd and 7 is crazy, because I thought there was no chance in hell.
And then on top of that, the guts to run. That's a gutsy call. And it's funny because if he would have got stopped
on that play,
if he would have got stopped, we would have called it a stupid call. We're like, that was a gutsy call. That was a gutsy call, because it truly was. In this situation,
the playmaker on the field.
Exactly. In this situation, the Packers are thinking, okay, Jimmy G is going to either one, bootleg to the right, probably not a naked bootleg, but he's going to bootleg to the right. And if he doesn't bootleg to the right, he's going to literally maybe do a step and try to get a quick pass off. It's 3rd and 7. You may be able to get away with a screen. And instead, they run the ball and he finds the hole. And I'm like, oh my goodness. This is crazy. So just to see that happen, I'm just so excited. But then, of course, there's a Bears fan. I'm tired of him burying the Bears. I cover the Bears, but you think I'm going to lose my fandom overnight? No, I'm never going to lose it. And so to see that we're inching closer to him retiring, as a Bears fan, I'm happy. If the situation was reversed and Jay Cutler or whoever Bears quarterback was before, whoever the Bears had the quarterback before, was burying the Packers for years, they want that person to retire too. You know, and then the I own you this year. Oh, so much was riding on the fact that I wanted him to be eliminated. So it's a beautiful thing.
It was gorgeous. It was everything I could have dreamed of. The fact that it was Robbie Gould, a Chicago Bear legend. The fact that it was Jimmy Garoppolo, who, like, you know, didn't really matter how he played. You know, it mattered what happened towards the end of that game and setting the team up in position to win. Like, yo, he had a lot of smelly ass throws. Mm-hmm. It was very Trubisky-esque, some of those throws that he was making. Mm-hmm. If the Niners defense wasn't as solid as they were, there's no chance in hell that they would have stood a chance to win that game. They didn't have a single offensive or defensive touchdown, and they won 13-10. That's a complete failure on the Packers to get the job done. But credit, you know, you gotta give credit to Jimmy G. You gotta give credit.
It wasn't a touchdown that game.
Offensive or defensive? The only touchdown for San Francisco.
Oh, special teams. Right, the block.
Yes.
Right, which was just, yes. Oh.
So if you would have told me Aaron Rodgers would have lost that game without the other team scoring an offensive or defensive touchdown, it would have been like, you're out of your fucking mind. But that's just
a perfectly timed block.
Great block. Both of the blocks. I forgot the guy who blocked the field goal because I had turned away. I knew at the end of the second quarter, going into halftime, the Packers are like at the 5 or something like that. And I almost called McCarthy. Shanahan called a timeout for some reason. And I'm like, okay, the Packers seemed like they were content to just run the clock out and go into overtime. 7-point game. Why would you call a timeout there? You're going to regret giving Aaron Rodgers a free timeout. And then Aaron Jones runs a wheel route. He's wide open. He should have scored the damn touchdown.
Ugh. I have no
clue. I don't know what the fuck he was thinking on that.
Let me see. I'm going to see if I can find it. Because
he came back in.
I could have sworn he looked for contact.
He was looking for contact. He was absolutely looking for contact.
Like, I could have sworn he was looking for contact. You
were selling on that play, my guy. What the fuck? What the fuck?
So, yeah, so he passes it. Aaron Rodgers throws it from probably the 8-yard line. Aaron Jones catches it at the 45 of their own, turns around.
Wide open.
You know, even if, like, from your perspective, do you think that DB is going to catch?
No, he's gone. He's gone. He's gone. He's absolutely gone. There's no angle.
He went at him. He went at him for no reason.
There's no angle. So no, and he did it. You are being caught. If you just
Told him. People on the sideline like this, pointing toward the end zone, and he decides to cut in. He was not going to catch him. I don't know what that was.
He was doing. He had real Trent Richardson energy throughout this game. I just want to say that. But yeah, you get down the field, and then by this point, I just turned it off because I'm like, okay, there's no way in hell they're either getting a touchdown or a field goal, and it's over. And they blocked the field goal somehow, and. Great timing on that jump. Great timing on the block to score the touchdown. Great wherewithal to look for the fucking ball. I know that you were going to return that shit. And then setting up. Debo had some wonderful plays on that last draft to get him set up. That was a great win for the 49ers. Like Scott said, like that defense is really fucking good, and they're going to frustrate Stafford on Sunday. But of course, like. You know, we're here to just shit on Aaron Rodgers. And the fact that Aaron Rodgers is 0-4 against the 49ers in his playoff career is amazing. I believe Aaron Rodgers is like, what, 11-10 in the postseason? 11-9 in the postseason since he beat the Bears to go to the Super Bowl? Y'all been comparing this man to Aaron to Tom Brady for how long? Y'all been calling him the GOAT with one Super Bowl ring? Not only just one Super Bowl ring, with one conference championship? Do I need to remind y'all who else got a conference championship?
After Mahomes wins this year, I'm starting the conversation that he's better than Aaron Rodgers. And I
I cannot wait.
Start the convo.
I don't know. All he needs is three
MVPs. Just get this title and then focus on the individual stats for the rest of your career. Yeah. I need it. I need the conversation.
Yeah.
I need
It's not going to be a competition to me in about two or three years. It's not going to be a competition. But do you want to just go through the guys who also have conference championships? Brad Johnson, Trent Dilfer,
Rex Grossman.
Rex Grossman, Jeff Hostetler. You in the same company as Jeff Hostetler, fam? Jared Goff, Jake Delhomme, Jake Delhomme. You in that conversation, big bro? Word. Eli Manning got more conference titles than you. Eli more Manning titles. Got more championships than you.
More titles.
That dude. Wow. Crazy. Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco got the same amount of championships as you. Fucking insanity. Colin Kaepernick.
With Eli, he's like, if you know, if you're an MMA fan from like back in, this was Pride, he's like the Gracie killer. Sakuraba was this Japanese mixed martial artist who, for some reason, beat up the Gracie family. And I have you, there's no reason why, you know, the Gracie family, if you don't realize, they revolutionized MMA.
They're like the McMahons of MMA.
Exactly. They're also very arrogant and prideful. They don't like to give up. They don't like to say that they lost. You know, if they say if they lost, it's they you got to knock them out for them to even acknowledge that. But Sakuraba was just beating niggas up. And Sakuraba just dominated them. And so that's what you would call Eli Manning. You have the dominant person in Tom Brady who, you know, not that he wouldn't lose in the Super Bowl, but you could get him twice. And then you have Eli Manning, who is the sort of unsuspecting quarterback to come out of nowhere. And that is exactly what Kazushi Sakuraba? Is it Kazushi? I'm not sure. It is. Yeah. And he is the Gracie killer. He'd be Roy Lorenzo, Ryan, and Roy Hoist. That is it's ridiculous.
Five of them?
Jesus. The great. Oh, it is 1,000 of the
greatest. No, I know there's thousands of them. I'm saying he beat five of them.
He beat five of them. Yeah.
Damn, he they daddy now.
Yeah, they're like one of the original members. And if you look on how many Gracies there are, it's thousands.
They don't die, they multiply.
It is thousands. There's of course, you know, they created Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu technically. So
yeah, man. Interesting. Yeah. Colin Kaepernick, same amount of conference titles as Aaron Rodgers. Colin Kaepernick, a dude that if Aaron Rodgers stood face by face against, he would look him in the eye and say, you know what, pal, I got a lot of things to say about you. About your kneeling for the flag, about your love for vaccines. That same Colin Kaepernick could look you in the face and say, yo, we are one and the same, my friend. Yeah, you know, I might be smarter about science than you, but we got the same amount of conference championships. It's a little bit fucking sad, man. It's a little bit fucking sad. And we've been sitting here for the past 13, 14, 15 years, loving on Aaron Rodgers and his amazing play. And like, yo, he's a wonderful, wonderful quarterback. I don't think anybody can sit here and say that Aaron Rodgers is not a great quarterback or not a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Absolutely.
But once that month turns to January, we got to start being honest about who Aaron Rodgers is as a quarterback. And after that first drive, which the Niners were just like, here, take it. Take all the yards that you want. We're going to come back and still win this game. Aaron Rodgers didn't play how everybody treats Aaron Rodgers. And it's time for a lot of folks to be honest about Aaron Rodgers. Stop looking for a reason on Green Bay to blame. Stop looking at Matt LaFleur and what's wrong with his system. Why couldn't Aaron Rodgers win with Matt LaFleur this time? Nah, put all the blame on that unvaccinated, scruffy-looking motherfucker wearing number 12 that looks like he should be on Skid Row. Point the finger at him. Wherever he goes next year, I don't want to hear, oh, the Denver Broncos just didn't put a team around Aaron Rodgers. Oh, the Las Vegas Raiders didn't have the proper team for Aaron Rodgers to win. I don't want to hear any fucking excuse next year. When he's gone from Green Bay and he's all alone, he got to do it by himself.
Which is all I care about. Just get out the NFC North. Get out the NFC North, I probably won't care about NFC North, I probably won't care about you as much. Just get out of the conference. No. I'm tired. I, you know, Matt Stafford's going, doing his own thing. It's underwhelming Kirk Cousins. Justin Fields, hopefully, you know, takes off in his prime next year. Just get out and let that happen.
Yeah, go have fun wherever you want to go. Tampa, if it's Pittsburgh, you know, hey, them Yenzers are fun, I hear. Just go. Just get the fuck out of my life. So I don't have to deal with you anymore. Treat me how you treat your family. And don't talk to me ever again. Do you believe that Tom Brady will retire?
Pardon me, I think I'm 50-50 at this point. You know, of course, after last year, you would assume he would have came back. You just won a Super Bowl. You know, I don't think he's the type of person who's just going to say, yeah, that's it for me. He's probably thinking, oh, I could get one more. But seeing this, and he had a very good regular season. I think he should be MVP. But, you know, in the playoffs, he also was struggling a bit because he was getting hit a lot more. And, you know, you're older. It happens. You're the greatest NFL player of all time. Why not? But knowing him, he's going to have – he, of course, he said it's about his health. He's going to weigh it out. Right now, he's just focused on – I don't know what he's – did he say family or something like that? Take the time off. Chill. If you want to come back, do it, but you're 45 years old. You know, go right off to the sunset. No big deal. You know, I'm thankful to have watched him his entire career since I was, what, 10? I'm 30 years old now. How often do you get to see an athlete from 10 to 30 be in their prime the entire time? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It doesn't happen. So
especially in football, where the shelf life is so low already.
You know what I'm saying? You think about LeBron James in basketball. It's amazing he's not as explosive, but he can still put up points. But you also know, okay, in basketball, there are ways to get around this. Michael Jordan became much more of a jump shooter in the later part of his life. He can take off on you, but he also knew when to preserve his strength and his energy and how to manage it. In football, especially at a quarterback, where quarterback does not get as much punishment as a running back or receiver, but man, you can get some of the nastiest hits on you as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he's been able to do this, and I literally say he probably entered in his prime his fourth year in the league, but since then he's been in his prime. He had one of his greatest years as a professional this year. That is a Tuck everlasting prime. It's insane. So, you know, why not retire? You want to come back? Sure. Maybe if he comes back and have a healthy team, and that's how much I realized they missed Godwin. Godwin.
They missed Godwin.
Man, Godwin is
on that squad.
Godwin makes it so much easier for Mike Evans. But on top of that, Godwin is such a good utility player. And so to have – and then, you know, A.B. leaving, that hurts him. I think A.B. would have been a great asset during this game. So, you know, and then with the defense, I think the secondary has been exposed. Even though they've dealt with a lot of injuries this year too. So we'll see. But I would say retire. Why not retire? Just enjoy the game. And if I was a Tampa Bay fan, you know, some people might be upset that, oh, man, who got a quarterback? You got a title out of it. And in NFL, a title is not promised. So I would be 100% thankful if I was them.
I mean, yeah, the Bucs a couple years ago were like winning 3-4 games a season. And then they lucked themselves into getting Tom Brady because he didn't want to play for Bill Belichick anymore. You got to be thankful for the one championship and the restoration of respectability if you're Tampa. I mean, you know, the way he be talking lately, Giselle wants him to be at home, or she hates seeing him get hit. His kids are out of age where, like, yeah, you want to be there for some moments. Yeah. You know, they're hitting the teenagers, and I could understand if you're Brady. You know, you really want to be around your family for these kind of moments. I think he does one more year. I think he does a swan song. You know, there's only certain athletes that get to do it. We got to see Dwayne do it a couple years ago with the Heat. But, you know, remember, like, when Cal Ripken retired and Tony Gwynn retired, and, like, every visiting stadium they gave him, you know, some kind of memento, like, you know, appreciate you for being around so long.
The funny thing is, I think Brady would hate that.
He probably would. I don't know Brady too much. I feel like he's been enjoying the last couple of years of, like, being cool.
Yeah.
Because for a very long time, nobody wanted to fuck with Tom Brady because you represent Boston sports. And, you know,
he was. They were so unassuming last year, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, they're in the NFC Championship. Oh, they're in the Super Bowl. Oh my Lord, they're beating the crap out of Pat Mahomes. So like he's had such an unassuming year. Now I will say this: if he comes back, a healthy Bucks team is my early NFC favorite to win. You know, I think a healthy Bucks team smoke is not going to lose to the Rams again because Matthew Stafford, he gonna get that rock up.
100%. It'd be interesting because Godwin's gone. I think Godwin takes a mega deal somewhere, probably Philly. You gotta find a way to replace him on the receiving core, which you know could be pretty easy to do. I like the kid that's been emerging in their absence. I'm blanking on his name, but he's been kind of developing a relationship with another receiver more lately. But you still go out and you find a receiver maybe through the draft. You still got their first round pick, so you're gonna find some kids towards the back end of that first round that could work. You know, maybe he do want to come back and just try one more time. Like, yo, make sure these records are solidified if they already weren't. Because Pat's going to come for him. He understands new age going to come for him. If he can do one more year of doing these stat padding, making sure that my records are solidified, and then he goes away, it's worth it. The championship, like, who cares if you win a championship or not? But I would like to see Brady at least one more year just to go out. Because he still physically can do it. Let's talk about the beloved. The Chicago Bears hired a new general manager. Ryan Poles is our GM, the director of scouting for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's responsible for a lot of the dudes they've drafted.
He's been in front offices for quite some time.
About a decade. He used to play for Boston College with Matt Ryan and Brian Flores. Was an undrafted free agent with the Bears and was one of their last cuts. In 08, and then he went back to Boston College to be a grad assistant and then got hired by, I want to say, Scott Pioli
with the Chiefs. He did what a lot of young coaches and a lot of young players hope to do, and that's go the grad route. Most of them go the grad route. You know, they're a grad school assistant, you know, probably a former player. Doesn't matter if they went to a prestigious D1 school, but they go there and they become an assistant coach or come an assistant. You become an assistant coach and then you go to that, you know, or you go that way, or some of them become assistants. And then from there, they become more of a front office role. So that was, I kind of went ahead of you, but I think it is 100% a dope pickup. He's been at least 2009 scouting assistant. And a year later, he's already the college scouting coordinator. So that lets you know, yo, he's ascending fast. 5 years later, he's already the director of college scouting. And then he did such a great job there, he became the assistant director of player personnel. A year after that, executive director of player personnel. So he was moving in a positive direction. And even though he never made the Bears roster, the 53-man roster kind of all brings him back home now. And so, yeah, that is, I think it's a very, very, very good pickup because – especially the way the NFL is, it's really about, you know, as a GM, you're not there to be play calling. Who are you going to pick up? And his expertise is finding these great players. Now we have to deal with finding those great players as free agents too. So I don't think free agency is as important as drafting.
And can I bring it around for you? I feel like Ryan Poles' hire swings it right back around to the question that you asked George a couple weeks ago at his press conference, in you know, mentioning, yo, it's a younger man's game. If you're going to build a team, build a roster for the future, you know it's great to have a Bill Polian and you know a sage wise mind that's been in this business for a while. But the innovation of a young mind like Ryan Poles is very exciting. And a guy that's been working with veterans like Scott Pioli, like Andy Reid, you know, folks within that Chiefs system for years, he's picked up some shit. Like, it's
I was talking my fault, cutting you off. I'm really interested in, I've only talked to Soup, Coach Soup, Soup Campbell. I met him through Herb. Literally, he was on, whatchamacallit, on the sideline during a training camp, and Herb already knew him, Herb Howard of the Bigs. And he said, oh, well, this my man, Flows. I said, what's going on, Soup? Nice to meet you. I would love to ask him, how much input did you have? Like, I want the Bears to have the press conference with all of them up there, you know, or at least have them available for Zoom. I want to know how much input did you have within this, you know,
camaraderie? And what exactly with polls stuck out?
And then Tanisha Wade, you know, what was her input in this?
Right.
You know, it seems like to hear Bill Polian want to hire someone who's, how old is he, 36 years old? He's 36. Like he's a young dude. 36,
37.
He's 5 years older than me. You know, I'm getting older. He's 5 years older than me. So I'm thoroughly shocked. But I will say the Bears, for the first time in a while, the Bears went about this in the correct way. Mm-hmm. With Ryan Pace, John Fox, Matt Nagy. Nagy, I wouldn't say Nagy was a bad hiring, but there was some, it was some, I don't know about that one. Of course, there is the whole thing about the Bears love not hiring people with experience in a specific position. But with football GMs, if you're a good GM, you stay there for a while. You know, hopping GMs don't tend to really get that GM spot back. Look at Phil Emery. You know, what does he do now? Is he just a scout?
I don't even know what the hell. I've tried to block that man's existence from my memory.
I can't see Ryan Pace becoming a GM anytime soon.
Nah.
So GMs don't really hop around. So maybe I can't see that's a bad, I can't see that's a bad.
Enjoy being a consultant.
Exactly. Start a consultation, Ryan Pace consultation, and leave this city.
Have a lot of collaboration with people. Hopefully you can find the why.
I'm still laughing at Mike Singletary, you know, calling up and saying,
"My God, what?
I want to lead this team to a championship. It's time." I would have said,
"Okay, Grandma, let's get you to bed."
I would have said, "Nigga, get off my phone." Like you know what time it is? No, I don't. You ain't been in the league since 2016, and even then, you were assistant, brother. His career as a coach was literally tailspin. No,
that article tried to make the play about, you know, how Vernon Davis got it once he had Mike Singletary. Mike Singletary had an okay record, not a winning record, but an okay record in San Francisco. And as soon as he got let go, Harbaugh came in and Harbaugh started to win with them. They really tried to make it seem like Mike Singletary still had a lot to give to the game. And he does, but not as a fucking head coach of an NFL team in 2022. No. Go sit your old ass down, or if you want to come back and be a consultant, you want to come back and work with the linebackers every now and then, cool, fine. I will love that. Okay?
I don't want him anywhere near the team.
What does Dewey from Malcolm Newell say? Future's now, old man.
I don't know how you can... When it comes to a league that is modernized, from like, for instance, like from the 80s to the 2000s, the league
changed so much.
I don't think the league changed as much as it did in the last 20 years. That if we're comparing, okay, we're comparing the 80s to the 2000s, 2000s to the 2010s.
Well, the progression, I guess, in the last 20 years has been faster than it was the previous.
Exactly. If he were to be, of course, he's been playing in the 80s, but if he were to be, you know, took some time off during the 90s and then during the 80s and then went to coach in the 90s, I'm like, that's not bad. But now, league is so much.
It's a blink and you miss it game.
Exactly.
If you were gone for a while, you're not going to understand how the way this league works now.
The league is so much more different than it was then. You know, there are teams who don't even really run like that, the Bills being one of them. Mm-hmm. For it, on top of that, the linebacking core, their roles and their jobs are so much different. You almost have to have specialists as linebackers, linebackers who can specifically cover tight ends, linebackers who can specifically blitz. You know, whereas in his day, you had people like Brian Urlacher and Ray Lewis during his coaching time, who could do both of those things. And I'm not sure there are many who even exist. And if they do, they're probably going to get smoked on coverage. So yeah. I don't think he's had enough time recently to as a coach, especially have 7 years off, 6 years off to come back. No, it's just foolish. And I think a lot of it's his hubris, his ego, to assume that it's time for me to coach. No, get away from this team.
No, he wanted some attention with that one. It was clear. Like, I don't understand why we were here with that article, but, you know, it is what it is, man.
I saw it. I was like, what? Fuck out of here, nigga. You ain't getting nowhere near here, bro.
Yeah, that's a good one, man. But let's talk about the coaching candidates that are available. Scott made the push for Dan Quinn earlier. Who do you think, Ryan was calling him Ryan Pace, who do you think Ryan Pohl should give a hard look at if this is going to be an opportunity for him to make the hire that he wants as head coach?
I don't have, like I said, I don't have the post, as we said earlier. I have not paid attention to Twitter and the Twitter.
I don't know what's happening right now either. We're recording this Wednesday. You'll hear this on Thursday. Right now,
who knows if Thursday, if there's already a coach. I'm literally going up and looking, you know, at my colleagues. I'm looking at Leisure, Dan Weeder, and to see if they have any updates on what is going on with these specific hirings. But I don't see anything right now that suggests anything has been changing. Yeah. Yeah, it's a possibility. So it's funny because Matt Ryan was on the radio with somebody.
He was on Waddle and Sylvie, which I want to go back and listen to.
So I don't know if if the Bears took that into account or Ryan Pohl took that into account. But I haven't seen any movement right now. It's just sort of a maybe. Maybe it'll happen.
Matt Ryan called Rand Poles. He said, quote, "He's one of my best friends, and I'm just so happy for him."
Yeah. So my pick, who picked Jim Caldwell? That was Scott, right? But Dan Quinn. You picked Jim Caldwell. Now, of course, I don't mind Jim Caldwell whatsoever.
Uninspiring pick. Like,
it's cool. You know what I'm saying? It's cool. What he did with the Lions in those 3 years is that was a miracle in of itself.
It was four. I think he was there for 4 years. He was there for 4 years. He got him to the wild card round twice. Like, that's more sustained success than the Detroit Lions have ever had as a franchise.
Yeah. When I look up at the coach, so Jim Caldwell was there for 4 years. Before that, Jim Schwartz was there for 5. Jim Schwartz lost the wild card game. And that was the only year that Jim Schwartz had a winning record, 10-6.
Yeah.
Jim Caldwell had a winning record every year but 1 year and finished second in the division 3 out of those 4 times. 11-5 that his first year. Took over for a 7-9 team, 11-5, went to the wild card game.
God, they were pretty decent that year. I think that was when it came down to win or go home between them and the Packers.
I thought, I'm like, yo, are they gonna go to the freaking divisional round? You know, I didn't think NFC Championship necessarily. Next year they were 7-9. Year after that, back to the wild card game, 9-7. Year after that, back to the wild card game. And since then, doo-doo went through 2 coaches. Him, Patricia, and Campbell, doo-doo. Caldwell was the only one who gave them any sort of sustained success. Before him, let me see. Yeah, before Jim Caldwell, because Schwartz only got there once. Bobby Ross would probably be the last time that they had more than one wild card berth. And that was in 1997 and 1999. And before Bobby Ross, you're looking at Wayne Fontes, which was literally right before.
Going into names, I don't know territory.
That's, exactly. Well, going into I know names, Bobby Ross, only, Wayne Fontes, I literally had to look at his name to see it. So basically,
names I'd only know from the NFL throwbacks account on YouTube category.
And he's only had 2 years off since he was last as a coach. He was assistant head coach. He was
quarterback. You know what I forgot about Caldwell? I completely forgot that he was offensive coordinator of the Ravens the last time that they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that's how he got the Lions job.
You know, when he was with – he has a long, long career. He's been as the league has literally transformed itself. So I wouldn't be mad at them. It seems like more of a safe pick. Me personally, Eberflus is probably the person I want to look.
I want to hear your because I've completely waned on Eberflus over the last week. I want you to convince me why we should hire Matt Eberflus.
My thing is, I think when it comes to a good head coach, I want that head coach to have something that's probably in the Chicago Bears. We tend to have success when you have a defensive minded coach. That's fine. And if he assembles a good squad around him, I don't think that he would do bad as a coach. And of course, you have Eberflus, who was Miami's coordinator, Missouri's coordinator for like 9-10 years since then. He's just been a solid linebackers coach. And then with the Colts, you saw what he's done as defensive coordinator. And this was his first time as a defensive coordinator. He's been grinding in terms on the NFL level. He's been grinding as a linebackers coach for a long time. The Bears need someone to take that linebacking core, especially someone like Roquan Smith. You got a budding linebacker core with some very good people. You got, of course, you know, people be forgetting, Khalil Mack, Roquan Smith, those outside linebackers. You got Roquan Smith. I don't know who will be interior next to him, but you have three good linebackers, and at least in the 3-4 you do. And you got someone who knows what that position needs and know what needs to do. And then make him a defensive coordinator and put great people around him. And that, but here's the thing. I like every coaching candidate except Dan Quinn. Now, of course, Dan Quinn has the career where he literally went to the Super Bowl. He blew a historic lead that I have never gotten over, even watching as a fan.
He also has a ring on him, too, with Seattle. So I want
to
get that out. He's got the ring with Seattle.
He has the ring with Seattle, and he was...
Should have been two, but, you know, motherfuckers want to run on the pass on the one-yard line.
And he was... that was Legion of Boom. You know, and that was...
Yep. He took over for Gus Bradley, and then that was the year that they went to the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl. So both years they went to the Super Bowl, he was a defensive coordinator.
You know, and that was God tier defensive coordinating. But I will never get over that lost lead. That just stinks. And then the team just freaking torpedoed itself afterwards. And that just sort of concerns me watching it. But I do think these are all very good, experienced coaches. And the Bears have had a huge lack of experienced coaches who are not on their way out. The last experienced coach they had, who was John Fox, and John Fox was on that tail end of I don't care anymore year, whereas Dan Quinn is not. Jim Caldwell's getting himself back in it, and Eberflus is probably in the prime of getting himself as a coach. He's 51 years old, younger than all three. Dan Quinn is 51 years old. He's about to be
50 if he's not 50.
Eberflus.
Dan Quinn, I think, is 51.
Same age, both 51. Both 51. So I don't mind either of these picks, but I like Eberflus just because I really like the Colts defense.
I'm at too. I really like the Colts defense, but then I dig a little bit deeper into the numbers. Okay, the pro, he's done what he's done with the Colts defense when they have not really put a lot of money into that defense. Like you think about it, they've always had a lot of cap space. They don't fucking spend. They only really, I think, acquisitions when they went out and trade for DeForest.
Yeah.
So he's done what he's done through that, but his defenses, while they show up and they might look good on PFF and everything like that against elite quarterbacks, your Tom Brady's, your Russell Wilson's, your Justin Herbert's, they have a tendency to give up yards, give up big plays, and lose ball games. So I'm a little bit weary if we're going to go into this era where you have to have a quarterback that can move the ball down the field and can put points on the board. We don't want to go out and hire a guy that has a tendency of letting quarterback style on. So it's not that Dan Quinn doesn't, you know, the Cowboys were kind of susceptible at plays. They weren't perfect. They were a much better defense than they were last year. But like, that's why I'm kind of iffy on Eberflus. I still like his defenses, but like of the three, he would be number three for sure. If you want to throw in Brian Daboll, I think after Saturday, Sunday, I don't fucking understand how you don't bring in Daboll for a second interview. There was some times where, okay, your play calling is a little bit iffy, but to bounce back on them last couple of drives to get down the field, that's what you want out of a head coach, or that's what you want out of Justin Fields. And if he's the guy that could have locked out of Josh Allen when nobody expected it to be Josh Allen doing that, what can he do with Justin Fields? But if we're going to go of the three finalists that have been at least announced, so who got final interviews, give me Caldwell. I think Caldwell has taken teams to the Super Bowl. He's won two Super Bowls as a coordinator. We know what he's been able to do with a guy like Peyton, getting the most out of Joe Flacco. Stafford was having some of his best years with Jim Caldwell.
let's see what he can work with Justin Fields, being that black head coach to work with the black quarterback. Let's see what he can do and then find a guy, a coordinator, even if you want to keep Desai, which I think that's actually a good, what do you think about Desai? Because I know he got the, he had an interview with Seattle and it's been kind of some talk about whether or not he'll come back or not. I think we might have lost Joe. Okay, yeah, I think we lost Joe for a little bit. So I'm going to keep going until we get Joe back. Actually, hey, no, I think we got Joe back.
No, I'm here.
Okay. I was literally about to ask you about Desai.
I was briefly on the phone. I was trying to tell you to keep going.
Yeah, I saw it literally after I asked you that question. But Desai got that interview with Seattle.
Oh, he's
got
to go.
He's going to go or he's got to go?
He's got
to
go.
Okay. You think we could do better at defensive coordinator?
I do think he is an okay defensive coordinator for what I've seen. A banged up team, and he did the best that he could with the team he had. But you have an entirely new coaching staff. And I just feel like it's a custom. It should be good for you to just spread your wings somewhere else. Let Ryan Poles and whoever the head coach is. At first, what's most important is the head coach, because it's not like a logical deduction. Premise follows the conclusion. GM follows the coach. The hiring team hires the GM. Then the hiring team follows the GM. GM hires the coach. The GM then follows the coach's decision. Because sure, you want the GM to tell you this people want to bring in, but the head coach will be the person who's working with them every day. The GM's right. Not going to be on the field, you know, working out with the defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator. That's going to be the coach's decision. It's like when you watch games and the offensive coordinator, the general manager comes onto the field. He ain't with them. He's just on the sideline like a fan. And so it all depends on what the head coaches want. But I do not like, outside of maybe a few instances, head coaches coming in and using what's already there. Unless, of course, they just get a great rapport. They do. I'm pretty sure Tabor is gone. You know, as a special coordinator's coach. Mm-hmm. He had a really solid special teams this year. Desai will find work somewhere else. And so let whoever's the head coach make the decision. That's why I say he needs to go. Just clean out the closet, give him a fresh makeover, because the Bears did not have that correctly when Ryan Pace was hired. It was still, we're going to hire this person with this person. No. Clean it out and let him decide who he wants to decide. Let him decide who he wants to have here.
All right. These guys will have a podcast once the news breaks of a head coach. And of course, Joe will be at Hallis Hall once the introductory press conference happens. So,
the Bears email to me and other of the media just said all it says was information in person press conference.
Would that be the first time back in Hallis Hall since the pandemic?
Of course, I was since the Omicron wave. Yeah, because we've been in there. I stopped going in late November because I was like, okay. I was like, it's looking nasty. I don't want to go in Hallis Hall constantly because I don't want to catch anything. And then a week into December, they shut it down. I was like, okay. So I was already on the wave. Okay. So this will be the first time back. Yeah.
Well, yeah. At 7-9 the Hallis, at Flo's Andolini, Scott's at Barb Church. Scott, be on the lookout for that. Let's talk about Championship Sunday. First game is 3:00 Eastern in Kansas City. Chiefs going for 3 straight AFC title games. The Lamar Hunt Trophy, obviously Lamar Hunt started the organization. So crazy meaningful for them. They've hosted it for 4 straight years. And now they get a new opponent in Cincinnati and the Bengals and Joe Burrow and that crazy fucking offense that they got. I took this line at 7.5. Because I completely can see the Bengals hanging in this game and being able to make this a interesting one. But where do you see this? We seeing Kansas City back in the Super Bowl. Does Joe Burrow stand up for the Ohio State University?
I'm always going to claim Joe Burrow. I'm always going to claim Joe Burrow at Ohio State. The safe pick in this is going to be Kansas City. And it's like, why not? There are the three-time, you know, going to the AFC title for the third straight year, going to two straight Super Bowls. Why would you not pick them? Especially with a young quarterback, young receivers, why would you assume that they're going to usurp? And also a young team, but an experienced team. So the pick would be them. However, with that being said, I probably have the Bills. The Bengals is my pick. Right now, the Chiefs are -350 favorites, which is just, those are high odds, you know, in the playoffs. Those are big old odds. Wait,
so to win the game or to win the Super Bowl?
No, to be the favorite to win that game.
Oh, of course. No, I've already put money on not only the Bengals to win this game outright. I put money on the Bengals to win the Super Bowl.
I got to do my future soon.
Plus 800 at BetMGM for the Bengals to win.
I'm probably going to do my futures like immediately. But my thing, I think that's too big of a disparity between them. I think the Bengals defense has shown that they can fly around and they make smarter plays in the Titans defense. Not Titans, but the Bills defense before them. So I do think they will do a lot better job, even though the Bills were the number one defense. I do think the playoffs, of course, none of that matters. If I would give a betting advice, I would not take the 7. I wouldn't take that spread for the Chiefs. I do not think it will be 7.
It's too high for the Chiefs.
Exactly. I think it would be 3. I would take a 2.5, 3.5. Maybe someone gets a safety, or maybe it's 2 field goals. I'm not taking 7.
I certainly think there's a teaser opportunity with actually with Cincinnati.
I'm taking under. I'm not taking 55 points. That's not happening.
But yeah, that's the thing. I think there's a teaser opportunity really in both ways. But if you want to be sure, if you want to take Cincinnati down to 13 or 13.5, and then bring the over down to 48.5. Because I think they clear 40.5, but 54.5 is a little bit too high.
Shoot, with the Bills, they had like 60 combined points. That was just a freaking explosion.
I took over 53.5 in the case it gets a 54. But that's just me hoping and trying to go against the grain here. Yeah. But like Cincinnati, I think it was such an interesting fucking team because their defense I don't trust, especially if you put up against Patrick Mahomes. I do not trust that defense. But some about Burrow tells me that this might be a really special game. And I like that he is big dick slinging when it comes to, I've played in crowds before.
Yeah.
We can sit here and talk about, the game is different. Yeah, it's an NFL game. But crowds, like, Arrowhead is crazy. Joe Burrow's played in Death Valley. Joe Burrow, I want to say he played at Tuscaloosa that one year that they played Bama. Like, if you want to talk about crowds, the SEC has some of the wildest fucking scenes you've seen. The only difference is the game and the speed on the field. And it seems like Joe Burrow is capable of rising to that occasion on this stage. So I think like, if you want to put some money on the Bengals to win this, I'm not, I've already done it. It's possible. I expect Kansas City to win, but it's not out of the realm of possibility the Bengals can win this.
Yeah, I would take the Chiefs, obviously, just because the playoffs things are changed, but I'll take the Chiefs. The next game, however, it's more of a toss-up than anything. Right now, the Rams are the negative, but -184 favorites, +154 for the Niners.
The line hasn't moved from 3.5 since Sunday. It went to the 3 for a little bit. It got bought back. I've been waiting on it to get the 4.
It should stay exactly where it's at.
It should, but if it gets
the 4. However, I think it's going to be more than 46. It's -112 for under 46 on FanDuel. I would go over 46. That's easily a 30-27 game, in my opinion. So I would definitely go over on that.
Where's the line move for the total? Sorry, I'm trying to bring up the line movements. If I can even get to that point. There we go. So line movement on the total Right now, I'm seeing it at 46. It's been kind of hovering around 46, 40, and 40, 46 and a half. It's been that way for the last couple of days. Started at 47 and then went down. Yeah, I think people are looking at Jimmy G and looking at that game on Saturday and putting a little bit too much stock in the offense, only getting 13 points. The last time these two teams played, which was week 18, 27-24 game, they cleared 46 and a half. So the line right now is 45 and a half at BetMGM. Yeah, I feel like you have to take a over there. I don't think this is going to be one of them playoff series where it's defensive minded. They're going to be focused on running the ball. Yeah, the 49ers will, but the Niners are going to be tossing that bitch around the field. I definitely think that the Niners are susceptible in the secondary. But that front seven is so fucking nice. Off the line, I totally expect the 49ers to be the better team, you know, in the trenches. Because the way that they dominated the Green Bay Packers, they dominated Green Bay in the trenches. That's how they were to, that's how
I they think shut it down. This will be the game that either, of course, it's going to be either that. That's logical. But it's, I mean, that's deductively sound. But I think this is either going to be the game Matt Stafford takes off in, or he goes back to the old Stafford, because Niners are very, very quick off the line, as you said, but those corners can catch. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, they have very good skill at reading quarterback's eyes. Sometimes Matt Stafford can just look the field like just a, you know, just a Greek god, just so much better than everybody. And then he can just do the dumbest throws ever and stare down a receiver to death until he gets picked off. So, this will be a much bigger test than Tampa Bay's atrocious secondary.
Yeah. It feels like everybody's on the 49ers right now.
That is a definitely not pick. And the Niners, I would love to see Niners Chiefs part two, because I do not think the Niners are going to lose this time, because I think Shanahan is a better strategist than Reed. Obviously, Reed has the illustrious career, but I think Shanahan is a coach. Has a very good offensive scheme. He constantly learns. He constantly learns and adapts. Of course, he was a part of that debacle years back. He was a part of that debacle years back. So it's not like he is free from any criticism. But I would, if you know, as a fan, if he were to ever become the Bears coach, I would cry for years, because that would be a fantastic decision. But he was that. He was the coordinator in that Falcons Super Bowl, wasn't he? Or was he the
– He was offensive coordinator.
And he was the coordinator that Super Bowl year. Yeah. But he also led the greatest offense, almost the greatest offense, or one of the greatest offenses ever. Yeah. And he has just learned since then. He's learned since then how to play to the strengths of his players. He learned that Deebo Samuel can play everywhere on the field, use him when he can. And I think Andy Reid, for his – you know, as great as he is, Hall of Fame, he still makes stupid decisions at times. That I think you're overthinking. Andy Reid overthinks himself consistently. But that being said, I can't see the Bengals for certain being the team that will do that. If they do, then Joe Burrow is just the truth. And so is that entire Bengals team. But my best bet for all of this would be 49ers, Chiefs part two. And I would pick the 49ers. Niner gang. Bang, bang,
bang, bang, Niner gang. I feel like a lot of Bears fans are sold on the 49ers after beating the Packers, but especially for Robbie Gould. Especially for the love that we have for Robbie Gould, the fact that he still lives in the city of Chicago or the suburbs of Chicago. You know, he's never really left. Yeah. And it would be dope to see him finally get that ring. And, you know, you look at the 49ers, you were at that game back in October at Soldier Field, where the 49ers beat the Bears. You remember the 49ers were 2-4 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And they still found a way to flip the switch when it mattered and get themselves back here. Impressive win against the Cowboys, when kind of we all knew that of all the teams in the playoffs, the Niners were the team that the Cowboys didn't want to see. They were very impressive against Green Bay, when we knew that of all the teams left in the playoffs, the Niners were the team the Packers didn't want to see.
Yeah. Now, and on top of that, you know, if they went on the road again,
Yeah. Now we got the 49ers going back to LA, a team that they've already beat twice this year. They played them back in November. I think it was a Sunday night game, and beat them handily, 31-10. They beat them handily. Came back last week of season knowing that they needed to win to get in the playoffs, beat them in overtime in their crib, 27-24. They are back in LA, a city where the Niners, to me, this is, Scott would know better because he's lived there for damn near a decade. But to me, the hierarchy in LA, the 49ers are one, the Raiders are two, the Cowboys are three.
Yeah.
And then you'll get the Rams and everybody else.
Yeah.
We saw how it was a couple weeks ago. It's going to be very pro-Niner in that crowd. It's going to be a home game for them. What you want to say? Yeah, they're going on the road. No, it's a home game for the 49ers. It's more of a home game for the 49ers than it's going to be for the Rams.
Yeah.
And as much as we want to say, oh, Jimmy G, he's going to have that one. He's going to have that one pass, that one play. Matt Stafford very much can have that same one or two or three plays. As much credit as I give Stafford, this is a game where, like, yo, you have to prove yourself to me that you can win on the big stage. I've seen Jimmy win on that big stage. I've seen what the 49ers can do. I've seen what Shanahan can do when we're on that stage. And I'm trusting Shanahan, who owns Sean McVay, his old protege, if you will. They work together in Washington. He knows everything he's going to fucking do.
Yeah.
So the Rams got a lot to fucking prove to me, you super team. Oh, if the Rams don't win the Super Bowl, we about to see.
Yeah, for sure.
So, that is it for us. We hope you enjoyed Championship Sunday. We'll be back next week, even though we got like a little lull, so we'll figure out what we're going to do then. But
might be a Samantha Hallis episode if a coaching decision is made today or tomorrow, which I'm assuming.
I think they'll move on this, and I think we'll be seeing you and everyone else at Hallis Hall on like Monday, maybe. It seems like they'll make a decision sometime before the weekend, and you guys will be back on Monday. So,
you know, they're not afraid of Friday press conferences, but as I noticed during the season, whenever there's a Friday press conference, very few of us will be there. Fewer than normal.
Trying to get out of here, man. What you doing? So yeah, we'll talk about all that next week, man. Joe is at Flo's Annalini. Scott is at Bob Chess Scott. I am at Cameron Santo. At Bob Chanel on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/Barbershare Digital. The Patreon is at Barbershare Network or Patreon.com/Barbershare Network. That's where you can find summer sessions and everything else. We'll be starting up the top 25 for WWE. Next week as well. Chris been revamped the system, so we're gonna get on that. We also have a Royal Rumble episode of Ruthless Aggression up same time as this, so go pop in with that. We'll get predictions for the Rumble this Sunday. I got 3 hours to figure out who I'm gonna pick because God, I ain't been watching lately, but we'll see. Thanks guys for joining us. We'll see you guys next week. Enjoy Championship Sunday. This has been 2 minute drill for Joe and for Scott. I'm Pierce, man. Take it easy.